Raised Rowdy.
All right, guys, well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nick T.
And I am not Kurt Ozon. I'm Matt Burrell.
Thanks for being a guest host on the podcast that you, you know, are part of also.
Yeah, dude. Very, very happy to be here, especially with this guest we got today.
Yeah, Mr. Scoot Teasley. What's up, bro?
What's up, guys?
Yeah.
How y'all doing?
Bro, good. Thanks for being here with us.
And of course. Thanks for having me.
Bro, of course. It's a cold Nashville week, but...
It is.
It's, at least it's warm in here, you know?
It is warm in here.
Yeah.
It is, man. It was good seeing you last night, too, man.
It was a great little round you guys had. It was packed, too.
Yeah, packed house.
Dude, they're starting to get busier and busier over there. It's crazy. Like, that room, and they're having, usually January is, like, slow season, but it's cool to see the events, like, growing this time of year. And then at the local watering hole, the Red Door, after we had some good times. It was always good seeing you under the red lights.
Under the red lights.
It's just a different kind of game day.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yes.
Reminds me of home.
Yeah. Dude, that bar definitely does for me too. It feels like, I mean, I know it's like a Chicago themed bar, but it just feels like, you know, a bar in any kind of hometown.
For sure. Like, yeah. Dive bar vibes.
Yep. So what you been up to, man? How's your most recent trip been up here?
It's been good. I've just been writing so much, honestly. Spent like the whole last year writing and just trying to make like good songs, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to play some shows also. And I'm going to start putting out some music.
Yeah, so more
it's
music.
Be sick.
So your first release was what, 2022?
Yeah, 2022. Yeah.
So you were still in school then, right?
I was, yeah.
And you're still back and forth from Georgia and up here.
I am.
Yep.
But I am moving.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let's go.
Yeah. Finally.
That's a big deal. We've been waiting on you to get your ass up here, bro. That's awesome.
That's sick. Yeah, I know we've been talking about it, and it's like, man, it's nice being home too. And just like, sometimes when you're here, you're like around a lot, you know? So it can be a little bit overwhelming. So I think it's good that you kind of like dipped your feet in, you know, made sure it makes sense. Kind of probably found some crew also.
For sure. You know? And I mean, I put a lot of miles in my car, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
It's like business trips.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
It's like coming up here, you have in your mind what you're going to do, the people you're going to hang out with, the songs you're going to write. But now being up here full time, you can do it whenever the hell you want.
Right. Yeah, you just got to decide to lock in for a week and then go back. But yeah, it's going to be nice to be able to be here and not have to like worry about when I'm leaving or where I'm staying and all that stuff. So, yeah.
And scheduling, you can kind of schedule a little bit easier, you
for
know,
sure.
When you have a wider base of area that you can schedule in.
Yes. Yeah.
And do more spontaneous writes also, which is, it'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Who have you been writing with primarily?
I've been writing a lot with Mason Thornley and John Stark.
Yeah.
Those are like my guys. We've been writing for like probably a year and a half now, maybe. But those are like my two main guys I've been writing with.
That's sick. Recently. We love Mason.
Yeah. He's so good, man.
Oh, he's awesome. Yeah.
He's somebody that a lot of folks like he's one of the guys when you go and look at song credits of people's favorite songs and then you're like, oh shit, there's Mason Thornley. Oh shit, there's Mason Thornley.
Dude, there he is again.
Write some hits. And again, another guy that is just, people know when he's out, you know, like he's a fun vibe in town.
He is vibe.
Yeah.
He's a vibe.
We love having him out. We'll see him. He'll pop in even sometimes when he's not like playing for us. But we'll have to have him back soon. We do.
It has been a while. I mean, he's been freaking busy, right? And we're scooting everybody and all. And our boy, your uncle Chris. Talk about Chris Utley.
Uncle Chris,
bro. He talk about another vibe too,
Mr.
Chris Utley.
He is the great man. He like, we say uncle, but he's like. He acts like just like us.
Oh, bro.
He's just a vibe.
He's still younger than me. Yeah,
I think. It's a big deal when he has shoes on.
Yeah. You know?
Like, a lot of times it's like, I'm like, I know it's cold, but where are your toes at? Like, you're Mr. Sandals Crocs guy.
Right.
Like, what are you doing in boots tonight? Yep.
Exactly.
That's a good Pittsburgh boy right there. That's
he is.
Yep. Hockey guy.
Yeah. How'd you first meet him? Because he's been working with you for quite a while now, right?
You know, my first co-write in Nashville was with Chris and Mason Horn.
Yeah.
At the Omni, one that they tore down. So we've known, he's been there since pretty much the beginning. Years. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we go back a little bit and kind of go through that story? I don't know how many podcasts you've been on, but.
I think it's my first or second one, or probably second.
Yeah.
I think.
So why don't we talk about like your roots in music and like kind of how you got to now moving to Nashville?
Yeah, so as you guys know, I'm from Georgia.
Yeah.
I grew up in Northeast Georgia, and I grew up going to church like a lot of people do in small towns. Mm-hmm. So I went to like a really small church with all my family and aunties and cousins. Like, it was just all family. And so I grew up going to church, and I started playing drums at church. And I mean, I was on like the kids choir also mm-hmm. growing up, but my first love was really drums with music. And so I grew up playing drums, and I didn't really start playing guitar until my senior year of high school. And that's only because I took a guitar class. Mm-hmm. I just needed an extra credit to like graduate. So I just randomly took this guitar class, and I ended up learning how to play guitar. And I was like playing guitar and singing one day at church, and they were like, wait, you can actually sing. You should like sing on stage and play guitar. I was like, okay, I guess so. it's kind of scary, but I started doing that, and I guess I didn't suck. So because they let me keep doing it, so I kept doing that, and then I just started making TikToks, covering like country songs, and I got some traction, and here I am moving to Nashville.
Crazy, man. What were some of like the first songs on TikTok that you were like covering that started like making moves for you?
The first one was the first one that got like a little bit of traction, and I say that it was only like 70,000 views. That's, but I was like,
that's a lot. That's a stadium's worth of people. 70,000 is not a small number.
That's true. But it was Thought You Should Know before by Morgan Wallen before it even came out. I covered it, and it got like 70,000 views, and then I just kept posting, and then the next one had like that got like it was like 300,000 views, I think. It was All Yourn by Tyler Childers.
Yeah, Childers. Yep. Great songs.
Great songs.
Yep. Yeah, it's like, it's crazy how all of that happens. And I mean, you know, God bless TikTok. Well, I guess while it's still here, who knows? Yeah.
Right. But what's it like coming up in that age? Because like you, so when would that have been where you posted those on TikTok? That would have been what, like 2-3 years ago, 4 years ago?
That was like 2020, 2021-ish.
Yeah, yeah. So your whole career, like your musical journey really came in as that stuff, as TikTok became like the industry standard, the short form clips really became that. What's it been like coming up and that being like a huge part of what you have to do now as an artist?
It was cool at first, but I feel like it can get stressful sometimes because you're like trying to like get the views and like start comparing yourself to other people. But it's cool to be able to like put yourself out there on a place or like on an app and for like people to actually like hear you and like it be reciprocated. So it was cool like 2020, 2021 when all those guys were posting stuff. It was cool because I got to meet a lot of people also, and well, not like meet, but like communicate with people that were very successful, that were like telling me, you know, you're doing good, like keep going. So that was cool to see, especially as someone that's like, I felt very small compared to them at the time.
Yeah, man. I think you realize, like, as you get closer to it, most people are just people.
Yeah, for sure.
But that kind of, like, breaks down that wall of, like, unknowing and, you know, are they a totally different thing? Like, they act totally different or their brain works weird ways.
Yeah.
Or, you know, everybody's just people, man.
Exactly.
Just some people are humans. Are good at stuff. Yeah. Yep. I know we talked a little bit about, like, how you came up in the church. It's like, I see that so much, and I feel like that's one of the things that's different from like where I grew up, because like I grew up in Catholic church, so like we had a choir, but there was no guitar, there was no drums. Dude,
I call it rock star church down here. Like you get a band, like church. You get a concert, and you get Jesus at the same time. Like it blew my mind going to a mega church in the South for the first time. It's a different world.
But it's cool though because you get in front of people. Now you said a lot of them were your family, right. So it probably made you a little uncomfortable, but at least you had some familiar faces there.
Exactly.
But I feel like that's kind of like a little bit of a cheat code. You get in front of people, can start like working on that before you're, you know, like really trying to play shows, like paid gigs.
For
and stuff
sure.
Like that.
It's so helpful, honestly. And I still think like some of the most, like some of the most people that I've played for is at church, like at like one of the mega churches in Georgia.
It's crazy.
So it's crazy. Like thousand people, thousand seaters, and you're just playing. So it like definitely, it gets you in the door and you gotta just lock in and do it.
Yeah, you're around some great musicians doing that. People don't realize, like, especially like here in Nashville, like the big churches in Nashville, some of the best players in the world will get off. They're like, I don't want to tour with so and so legacy act anymore. Right. I just want to be in Nashville and I want to play, like, I want to do my thing. They'll do it in the churches, like leading worship and stuff, man. Yeah. And there's so many country artists that have had that background too. And that's how FGL got paired up, was they were worship leading at Belmont, you know?
Crazy.
Yeah. Insane. But man, I mean, it's like any path to music, you know? Like, I remember, like, growing up, I didn't really play any instruments. I remember I tried to, like, get my mom to buy me a guitar, and she was like, no, if you want to play in the band, we'll get you a clarinet, or, you know, or like a saxophone or something.
Here's a trombone.
Yeah. But, you know, whereas, like, if they would have said, yeah, we'll get you a guitar, you can worship lead in church. Like, I would have definitely done that. Right. You know what I mean? It would have, like, caught me at a different thing. So,
for sure.
I love hearing that. And it's, I think that's part of what makes Southern culture so musical is that, like, background in it, too.
The church, man.
Yeah.
Everything starts from the church.
Yeah.
Everything starts from the church. There you go. So, we've had the pleasure of getting to watch you grow from, like, your first trips to Nashville over the past few years.
Insane.
Now, how is your music? How would you say we've seen it evolve, but how would you say you've evolved, like, as an artist, like, with your songs? I mean, you got a brand new release coming out now. 2024 is a big year for you.
I feel like I've just gotten so much better songwriting, honestly. I mean, I was, like, writing, like, good songs, but I feel like now I'm writing, like, great songs, like, even better. So that's the main thing that I've seen within myself, like, and the ability to be able to co-write also and just meet new people and, you know, put myself out there, because I used to be a little bit shy. But, you know, the networking, coming to Nashville, you got to, like, you kind of have to
put yourself out there.
Yeah. Or else, you know, nothing's going to happen. So that's been, like, the biggest thing for me, honestly.
And it's big, too, like, having champions, like guys like Chris, who are, like, well-respected in the industry, you know what I mean?
For sure.
That is like, this guy's got it, dude, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, it's good having folks that believe in you, kind of helping get you, you know, in the right places, but also just, like, you know, just vouching for you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
It makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about the new single? By the time this is out, the new single will be out, so we'll talk about it like that. But why don't you tell us about who you wrote it with? And
so I wrote it with Nick and John. And the thing is, we wrote this song the day of CMA Fest, my first event, before I played at before I played at Spotify House, actually.
Cool.
That Friday. And we wrote it the morning of that, and I just had gone to dust in my notes. I don't even remember putting it in my notes, but I guess I did. I was probably, like, drunk or something. you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And I had this title and I brought it to him. And they were like, that's kind of cool. So I was like, okay, let's just try to make something cool with it. And I remember, like, finishing the write, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best song I've ever written. And I just felt really, really good about it. And I was, like, extremely happy about how it came out and how we were able to use the title. So, yeah, we worked on it for about 6 months, and here we are.
That's sick. What about, I know you dropped your EP last year as well. Do you guys have, like, a rollout plan for this year, or do you got more music in the tank, or still trying to figure that out?
Yeah, I spent, like, all last year writing, so I have so many new songs. It's kind of hard to even choose what I want to put out next.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a couple singles, probably drop another EP, and just see what happens.
See what goes from there. Yeah. That's awesome. And in terms of Nashville, do you have, like, a bucket list now that you're moving here?
I don't know. I feel like I've done a lot of stuff just by coming back and forth. Yeah. So I don't think I have, like, a...
Nothing formal.
Yeah, no.
You're going to get into so many things that seem like they don't exist in real life. You know what I mean?
Dude, yeah.
This is that town, you know?
Yeah, I believe man. That. Well, we got to talk about the town that you're coming from, or the town that you spent a few years. One of my favorite college towns in the world. Like, there's nothing like Athens, freaking Georgia.
It's the spot,
what was
man.
It like doing your college years there? And there is a scene. There's so many guys and girls from Georgia, and I mean, whether it's, like, Statesboro or it's Milledgeville or it's Savannah or wherever, but Athens is one of those hubs where you have great venues, great bars, a lot of creative people, and just above all, a place to have fun in your 20s.
You know, living in Athens is insane. It's just like 100 bars downtown. Much trouble to get into with that. I spent a lot of my time and money downtown in Athens. And I don't know, it was cool because that's also where I started posting TikToks and stuff, like whenever I really started like honing into making music. And I was doing like Zoom writes in my college apartment. Mm-hmm. It's where I wrote Nothing On Me in my college apartment. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, Athens, everyone from Athens, like, we all like support each other, and still, like, there's a lot of guys in Athens that come to my shows or I go to their shows. Like, we still all support each other, so it's like a community, honestly. But I did just play Georgia Theater two weeks ago.
That's a big deal. That's the mecca, bro. That's great. Awesome.
Played with opened up for Travis Denning, so Georgia boy. So it was great. It was great being able to go back there. And I never went while I was in Athens, so it was my first time actually going to the Georgia Theater.
Well, your first time in the building is playing.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah. So it was crazy. Like, perfect night, honestly.
Sounds so good in there, too.
Like, it does.
When I was there the first time, that's one of the things that wowed me, is just how good it sounds in there.
And it's surprising, too, because it's kind of a small, like, building, but it sounds so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The history of what's gone on in there. I mean, you look back at some of the greats like REM, lots of great moments in there. Widespread Panic, lots of great moments on like the rock, like jammy side, but also like the mech, like the stomping grounds of like the Corey Smiths from like a couple generations before you. Brantley Gilbert did a live record there. Like,
he was actually there too.
Oh, really? Brantley was there?
Yeah, he came out and played a song with Travis.
That's cool.
So crazy.
It was sick.
Yeah. That's cool, dude. And Travis is like, again, part of that class, like a couple classes before you and the guys and girls that are coming out of Georgia now with like mm-hmm. Four Wheel Drive and him being from like the Macon, Warner Robins area. What was it like getting to do a show with him? Did you get to have some good interaction with him?
Dude, yeah. It was honestly like so sick. And he like such a great dude. He made me feel so welcomed, and it was honestly just like hanging out with a friend I've known all my life.
That's great.
Yeah. We got to go out, have some beers. It was great.
Yeah, it's a brotherhood of the Georgia guys.
So far in your musical world, has there been any like kind of like pinch me moments or just things that you think back on even maybe after the fact and you're like, how the heck did that happen or how did I get there?
Yeah. Well, I feel like definitely Georgia Theater a couple weeks ago, but also riding with Nelly. That was insane.
When did that happen?
Last year, probably around, I don't remember. It was probably like April, May-ish, but that was like a pinch me moment for sure.
That's so wild.
Insane. Still like crazy to think about.
Yeah. Did you get that song done? We have to hear the work tape, so.
Yeah, I'll show it to you guys.
Yeah. How did that come about?
So I was in Nashville for a trip, and my publishers were like, yo, Nelly's coming into town. But they didn't really tell me that they were trying to get me on a ride with them. They're just like, yo, can you like stay this weekend? I was like, yeah, sure. Then like 2 days before, they're like, all right, so you're going to be riding with Nelly? I'm like, okay.
Like, is he Nelly?
Like, Nelly? They're like, yeah. I was like, okay. And it was like a afternoon ride too. So I'm like chugging like, what's the rain energy drinks?
Yeah.
I'm like trying
I'm
like, I got to stay up. I got to be locked in. And I could not sleep after that, after the ride, because I had so much energy. But it was crazy, crazy experience.
How long was the ride?
It probably went to like, it was probably from like 6 to like 11.
Cool.
Yeah.
And was it like country song or like kind of fusion or?
Yeah, it's like a, we wrote like a, well, I had this one song that I wrote like probably a couple months before that, and we showed it to him and he liked it. So we kind of like rewrote it to be like a duet country-ish thing. So hopefully it comes out soon.
That'd be sick.
It would be sick.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, he was one of the guys that was kind of like the early crossover.
Yeah, one of the first ones. Yeah.
And I mean, his branding, even in rap, was like country grammar. You know what I mean? It was like very engulfed in the same kind of like, you know, ingrained, not 100%, but like mixed over in that culture. So
for sure,
super cool. I'm glad to hear that he's still like outwriting songs and stuff too. That's awesome.
Yeah, It was sick.
Yeah, because he still pops up on like country festivals like pretty often. I mean, like you were saying, like you look at like Nelly, you look at like Ludacris. Like there's guys that grew up in that country environment. You definitely feel that way too, you know?
For sure.
Which is awesome.
That's nuts, man. And what such a, I mean, he was one of the groundbreakers of the crossover kind of movement that like we're seeing so much now, you know, with like Posty's album. And I don't know if you saw the headlines about Big X having an EP in the country world. Like, that's sick.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
He's one of our favorites, dude. Like,
I love him too.
Yeah, dude.
Matt showed him to me and I was like, okay, this is like, it sounds like the stuff when I was younger. You know, I love
it's like
it.
His,
it's got like that UGK like Paul Wall Houston thing, but mixed with like the Biggie persona, just because he's such a large dude, you know, like large baller dude.
And the beats are like old school. You
know
they
got the old school samples too. Like,
oh yeah,
it's
great.
It's very stuff.
Very like mixtape era. Yeah, which is what's really cool.
For sure.
The fact that a guy like that is like, I'll fuck with some country stuff.
Yeah,
it's pretty
crazy. It's crazy.
But it's because of guys like Nelly. They kind of broke ground in that world to make that kind of like okay. And I read a statistic, and by that I mean I watched a video.
Modern day statistics. What's on TikTok?
It said like consumership on country is so much higher. Yeah. But that's on the back of guys like Post Malone and Wallin's big crossovers.
Yeah.
And FGL before them. And you know what I mean? Just like really expanding the boundaries of what the genre is.
For
you know?
Sure.
And it's like, it's so cool that we have so many different genres in, but then guys like Zach Top are also crazy popular, which sounds like that 90s country that was just straight up country.
Good old school.
Sounds like the radio.
It's nuts, man. Super cool time to be a fan of country music, and I'm sure it a cool is. Time to be making it as well.
Yeah, when did you kind of decide that like country's the way you want to go? Like, did you grow up listening to it, or?
Yeah, I always listen to country music, and I told you guys like I like sing on the kids choir, but my fourth grade talent show I sing "Good Directions."
Oh,
By Billy Currington.
By Billy, So it was like I was always like. Listen to country and singing country, so it was just like natural to make country music. It wasn't really like a decision I had to make, you know. It was just natural.
And then when you were doing the covers, you were like, "This is what I listen to. This is what I'm gonna do."
I'm gonna,
sing
what I listen
Tyler
to.
Tyler Childers.
I mean, dude, it's crazy too. Like, I remember when I first started coming to Nashville and just going to Broadway and hearing like what songs were played.
Yeah.
And then like watching that turn into like Luke Combs and Morgan Wallen and Tyler Childers. Like if you're on Broadway now, you're hearing Tyler Childers.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
And that's part of the mainstream of like what people come to hear when they're thinking of country music now, which is super cool. Yeah. And then now you're like, bro, you can't be at a show where people are doing covers and not hear Zach Top.
Right.
It's nuts. You're gonna, you know?
And it's crazy. They go from I had some help to Zach Top.
Yeah.
So
no problem.
No problem at all.
And then mix it in, like, Pour Some Sugar on Me or some, like, 80s Stable or Sweet Caroline.
Then they go Redneck Woman. Like,
Yeah, bro. It's crazy. So have you done a lot of cover shows, like, kind of getting your bearings and whatnot? Like, what's the live stuff been like for you in your journey doing that? Going from church to bars.
Yeah.
Quite the adjustment. Everybody seems to do it.
It is quite the adjustment. But it's fun, I mean, because it's really, like, I think it's, like, low stress because everyone's drunk and you just play music and have fun, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's that crazy.
Yeah.
It's fun, yeah.
Were you playing cover gigs in, like, a Georgia area, like, at school and stuff?
Yeah, I played my first show was actually in Athens, like, before I even had a song out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just playing covers at Generals.
At Generals, man. Yep. Oh, yeah. We went to Jenny's.
Oh, yeah.
The old school. There's like that little room. It's so funny going in these college towns and seeing some of the bars. Do you do a lot of frat shows or any of you dipped into that world at all?
Not yet.
Yeah. Dude, those are good too. And specifically if you're going into like a new college market, that's a great way to build some fans that will come out and do a paid show.
For sure.
Like, ticket too. You know what I mean? just build that fan base. That's like how guys like John Langston, a lot of those guys toured extensively through those markets in that way, and then started selling a bunch of tickets at the venues after that.
Yep,
which is cool.
And then you got guys like Waka Flocka that are just on the frat tour.
Dude,
man. That guy will be
killing the colleges
till the day he dies. He gets his bag. He gets his big guarantee. He has his rider. He goes in there, rocks out.
Dude,
for
you know Sean Kingston played at Georgia Lake last year too, so he's doing the colleges too.
Hey man, nothing wrong with that, you know.
Yeah, as a music lover, what have some of your favorite shows been that you've gotten to like go to?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't really go to a lot of live shows, but I know I see a lot of live music in Nashville.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like some of my favorite guys to watch are probably like Ko. He's great live.
Yeah.
I loved watching Dylan Marlowe also. Mm-hmm.
Good Georgia
but
boy.
Then like yeah, like show wise, I saw it's probably like three years ago. I saw like Hardy, Ernest, and Morgan that when they were doing that lineup.
Yeah.
That was probably like peak right there.
Yeah.
And it was before like Hardy really like blew up and started. I mean, he was still like writing and he has some hits, but it was before he like actually, I feel like, blew up.
Yeah. Now he's doing his own arena.
Now he's on his own arena.
Now he's a headliner.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nuts. Do you have any like kind of like, I know we talked about you getting to write with Nelly, but like any like dream collaborations or anyone that you'd love to work with either on the writing side or possibly like on a song?
Yeah, definitely Cameron Marlowe.
Yeah.
Crazy writer.
Yeah, he's so good.
Yes.
And he's been a great writer since he was a kid. It's wild. Mm-hmm.
I know. He's like his solo writes are crazy, bro. He just sits down and writes his by himself. Mm-hmm. So impressive.
Yeah, and his voice just dominates.
Yeah.
His live show is crazy too. And he's got his boy Jake on guitar. Like he's got some personalities in the band.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jake wearing the NASCAR stuff with the cooler. He'll walk out with the beer cooler and like toss beers into the crowd before Cam even gets up there and plays a note. It's like, it's just crazy.
It's already a party.
Yes. Nuts, man. Well, dude, we're super excited to have you here in town and like just get to see you more too.
I know, I'm excited.
Yeah, man. What are you most looking forward to? I know you said like the consistency of being able to get in the rooms and all of that, but like what's like your biggest goal where you're like, all right, now I'm here. Now I'm on the field. I'm like in the game. Like what are you like what's like your biggest goals now for being in town?
Just make more connections, you know? Like I actually have a spot so I don't have to worry about getting too drunk or something like that. I can just go to my own place. So that's like the main thing. Just, you know, make some good connections, make some good friends.
Yeah.
Make some more good music.
We always talk about like the thing that before I lived here that I didn't really exactly understand is like how people get a team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And part of it is just like people seeing you, seeing how good you are, seeing how bad you want it. You know what I mean? And then like, if you go out looking for a team, it's hard to get a good team. But if the team's like, yo, I believe in this, let me go on the journey, then it's like everybody's pointing forward and it's sick.
For sure.
So I think this is a good place. I mean, you already have, you know, a lot of great team members already.
Yeah, I feel like I'm spoiled. I got a great team.
But you're going to get even more people that believe in you, more co-writers that, you know, get your vibe and you get theirs, you know. And
I think
that's a big part of it too is like, also, in the writing community and artist community, it's like you find other people that you're like homies with. And then like as something starts to rise, everybody kind of rises together.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's one of the cheat codes of Nashville, too, is like
for
being able to get to do that.
Just find your crew. And
yeah.
Yeah. Who would some of that crew be right now? Like, who were you out with last night? Because I think I don't think I met who you were with. Like, you were, it seemed like you had a buddy with you last night.
Yeah, that was Ryder Johnson.
Yeah.
He's with Prescription. He's a producer, writer. So he does a lot of like hip hop stuff, rap stuff. But he's one of my boys. And then hung out with Joe Noto also.
Yeah,
last night. Dude, Joe, you talk about this, the Midtown All-Star. Right? Just, a dude where you're gonna meet a lot of people just by hanging out with him, just
because
that's who he is, man. He's like my paisan, a fellow like has those New York roots.
Yep.
Yeah, we love Joe too.
He's great.
Yep.
But yeah, that's what I was with last night.
Yeah, yeah. He was out with Josh Dell, who's one of our favorites.
Oh, you hang out, you get to meet Josh last night?
I don't think so.
Bigger dude with the glasses. Who
he
was
might have
Joey.
Been gone by the time you got out.
Maybe.
He's great. Josh is one of those dudes that you meet and then you realize all the stuff that he does and you're like, damn, like he's a great portrait photographer. He's a songwriter. He has great songs. He is also like creative director over at the management company and like just everything.
Everything.
You know?
Yeah, but he's just like a vibe.
He's literally the vibe.
And he was with Joe last night. And it's like they bounce each other out because Josh is like very slow and chill, like just kind of vibing, like very friendly, but like that.
Yeah.
And then Joe's just like, go. So they like balance each other out really well. Yeah. But who would somebody like your crew be? Like if you were like looking back, where like these people were kind of coming up with me, who are some guys or girls that you feel like you're coming up with?
I feel like definitely like Mason. Yeah. And I don't know, me and Joe have written a couple of times. And I don't know, just I really like hang out with Prescription people, so
yeah,
it's like all those people over there, they're great hangs. And yeah,
I think that's one of the things that like moving to Nashville is gonna get too, like, because it's like you'll find a crew, but you'll find like another little crew too, and like, you know, be able to bounce around between multiple friend groups and stuff. I think that's one of the biggest parts about like getting to town is you really like figure out everyone and like who your people are, and you know, like even just people that you run into when you go places, or you know, when you have a show that come out and support you and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great for that. Great.
Yeah, dude, I feel like I've gone through, 'cause I've been here, I just hit 6 years of being here, and I've run through like a few different crews, you know, like you go through like different chapters while you're here. What's gonna be the hardest part about leaving home?
Leaving my family, probably.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I'm a big family guy. We, like, go to my grandparents' house every Sunday, like, have dinner. So that's, like, probably going to be the main thing, just, like, leaving my family. But, I don't know, I've done it before, just not, like, 4.5 hours away.
Yeah.
I was only, like, 4 to 5 minutes.
But you're still only 4.5 hours away. For me, it's, like, 14. Yeah. For Nick, it's, like, hey, like, there's so many people. That's one of the benefits of coming out of one of the southeastern states. Like, you're just got to hop on 24 and 75, and, like, you're good to go.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
Do they get up here? Have they taken some trips up here and come up to watch you play before?
Yeah, my dad was actually here last night.
Oh, that's awesome.
So he went to my showcase. So they come up and come to shows often.
That's great.
So they'll probably be up here even more now.
Yes,
we look forward to hanging out with them, and we're going to thank them for raising you rowdy.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Yeah.
Which is cool. What was growing up like? Was there a lot of music going on like in the house, or was a lot of it like church stuff? Like, what'd your parents do? Like, tell us about Baby Scoot, like growing up in the Teasley household.
Baby Scoot. Man, like, I grew up, and I was always the kid that was like trying to put on shows for my parents. Like during the summer, I would like get my brother like, all right, you're gonna do this, you're gonna play this right here, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna sing this. So we were always like trying to put like play like concerts for them. But then also like on the flip side of that, it was a lot of church. We went to church like 2 days a week every week. And I also went to church a lot with my granny. So yeah, growing up, it was just literally all church. That's what it felt like, at least. But it was also a lot of sports too.
Yeah.
Cause I went from football, basketball, baseball for like the most of my childhood for like 7 years. So it was just church, sports, and drums.
Drums. Yeah. That does keep you busy.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. How did your parents feel about having that drum kit in the house?
Dude, I think that they just had to eventually cave and get me one because I was just beating on everything. So after that, they got me a drum set, and then I feel like they just learned to tune it out. After like 10 years of listening to drums, I feel like you can just tune them out.
Yep. Where was it set up in the house?
It was in my room.
Yeah.
Okay, so it was right there. I don't know if they'd like put it in the garage or they like.
Nah, it was in the room.
That's it, though. I mean, the more access you have to it, the more you're going to use it, of course.
For sure. Yeah.
So
I would like go to church and like come home and like hum the songs from church and like play drums. So they got music on Sundays all day.
Whether they wanted it or not.
Right. Exactly that.
How about your family? Like, do you have a brother, sisters?
Yeah, I have a little brother.
Little brother, yeah.
He's in college. He goes to Kennesaw State.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's He's a sophomore right now.
Cool.
Makes me feel old, but
yeah. Just wait till you're actually old.
Yeah, dude. It goes by fast. Does he do anything? What is he going to school for?
He's doing criminal justice stuff.
Okay, so a little bit of a different track from being on the drums and doing all that.
Yeah, well, he was in band. I was in band too. I played drums in band. He played drums in band too, but he doesn't play drum set. He like hates drum set, and that's the opposite of me. So yeah.
What do you mean by like drum set? So it's like there's different.
Well, like in band, you're just playing like
the single snare, the fucking big one where you're hitting on the sides or stuff like that.
He just marched drums. He never makes played sense. Drum set. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a different game for sure.
It is. It's crazy. And it's like people don't realize, but those drums are heavy and you're moving a lot. Mm-hmm. It gets tiring for sure, but it's fun.
Yeah. Did you ever get to like go to any of those cool parades or anything like that with the bands?
We just did like, you know, the local Christmas parades.
Yeah.
But
nothing too crazy.
Yeah, nothing. We did a parade at Disney.
That's a pretty big one.
Yeah. I don't know how I forgot about that. But what is it called? Main Street?
Yeah.
We marched down Main Street.
That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
That's what, like, I wasn't in the band, but I always had friends that were, and those were the things that, like, made me jealous when they got to go to, like, Disney or, like, you know, like, one of the big New York parades or something that you get to every once in a while, like, go into.
Yeah.
It's sick. Get you used to being in front of people too, you know?
For sure, yeah.
It's a different thing.
What was the movie with Nick Cannon? Was it Drumline?
Drumline, my favorite movie ever.
Really?
I know like every single word of that movie.
Yeah.
My parents have seen that movie too many times and they want to admit, honestly.
Is there that culture though with like within drummers and like with high schools, particularly like in the Southeast where like people are like, because I know it's
drum
offs. Yeah, like drum offs, like the drum line kind of things like during halftime of games and things like that.
Yeah, like after, it would be like, you know, you get two drum lines. We like just sit in front of each other and just chop out. So that was like big in high school, honestly. And like the culture in that movie is like, it's all like HBCU. So like crazy, like. Crazy bands, crazy formations, all that stuff.
Yeah, there's the big. What's the big game? Is it Grambling and Southern? That's Grambling like the big Southern, HBCU like the high school. And it's like the halftime show is like bigger than the.
That's
game.
Why people come. Yeah, they don't come for the football game. They come to see the band.
They go for the bands in the halftime show.
Yeah, then they have like the fifth quarter where the bands just like play and try to like
rock
blow
out.
Each other out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool as hell, though.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's another cool way of, like, competition, which, like, that's the thing. It's, like, in the music world, it's, like, specifically in Nashville, it's, like, brotherhood, but it's also, like, competition. So it's, like, how do you mix those two things together, still get your drive from watching other people succeed, but also, like, feel good for them when they're succeeding, too.
Yeah, for sure. Know? Same vibe.
That's awesome, dude. Hell yeah.
Well, bro, it's been great having you on the pod. I can't wait to see you around more.
Can't wait either.
We're definitely going to make you play more Raiders rounds now that we know you're around.
Oh, yeah, now that you're here, we're not going to be waiting on text being like from Utley or whoever being like, "Yo, Scoot's coming to town." We're like, "We know you." We're going to
no more hiding.
As much as you want to play, dude. We're happy to have you, man, and congrats on getting up here.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
It's tough to take the jump sometimes, but Nick, like we were saying earlier, like you've dipped your toes in enough to where you've gotten kind of your bearings. Mm-hmm. And anything you need up here, we're right around the corner. Give us a shout. You got our
number. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely, man.
Appreciate you all.
We appreciate you, brother. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Tell everybody where they can follow you if they don't currently on socials.
Scoot_Teasley on all the socials. You can find all my stuff there. And Scoot Teasley on Spotify, Apple Music, all the streaming stuff.
We appreciate you, brother. We can't wait to see you more.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Nikki T.
And I'm Matt Burrell.
And we'll see you in the front row.